Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
Each week, you'll find us here at the Regenerative Farm, grounding with our feet in the soil, having candid, out-of-the-box conversations with leading experts in holistic health, skincare, regenerative agriculture, and more. Let's dig in. Welcome back to Grounded Wellness. I'm your host, Bethany McDaniel, and I am here hanging out at the Primally Pure Farm in the pasture, surrounded by chickens, sipping my iced green tea. And today I'm doing a fun Ask Me Anything solo episode. So we polled you guys on Instagram, and I have a list of questions that you guys want me to answer. So I am super excited to get started. First question. What's your background in work in education before starting this business? So, gosh, where to begin? I will go back to 10-year-old Bethany. I have always been an entrepreneur at heart. And so I had this little venture and I called it the Kid Shop. And one of the things I made was actually lip balm. But I made it with Crisco and food dye, and I would melt it together, and then I would fill little plastic Easter eggs with this mixture, and I would sell it to people. So thinking about all of my work experience, like none of it really lines up with what I'm doing now, aside from what I was doing when I was a kid, which is these kid shops selling these lip balms. And, you know, I was like the ultimate peddler of, like, I was using every marketing slogan I could think of. I had a sign that said, if I don't ask you if you want to buy a cookie, I'll give you one for free. So I was like always trying to upsell and like all of that at a young age. I would put ads in the Penny Saver. I would make flyers and hang them on all my neighbors' doors. So I took it very seriously. And I think I've just always had a little bit of that go-getter, like entrepreneurial spirit in me. So that was always kind of there. But then I lost that a little bit as I got older. I was really interested in writing and working, potentially working for a nonprofit. So that's kind of what I focused on with my education. I majored in communications just because I liked the communication classes. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I thought, okay, I like these classes. I'll just go this direction. And then I minored in creative writing because I always loved writing and thought that I would probably like write for a magazine. And if that didn't work out, maybe I would work at a nonprofit. I ended up doing both of those things, graduated, got a job with like a small magazine in San Diego and liked the work I was doing, but didn't like my boss at all. And so that ended up not working out. And it was also around the same time that my husband and I moved to Arizona from California. So we moved to Arizona. I got a job at Lululemon. So I worked at Lululemon for a while. My first job ever, actually, backing up, I was a lifeguard in high school. And then I worked at Trader Joe's all throughout college. So those were like how I was earning an income for several years. Back to later in life after college, moved to Arizona, started working at Lululemon, and then I really decided I wanted to get a job at Special Olympics Arizona because my brother has Down syndrome. He was always really involved in Special Olympics. I loved the organization, and so I interned there. They didn't have anything available. I said, can I do anything? Is there anything I can do? I really want to work here. So I interned as a grant writer, and grant writing is like the most boring thing ever. You're writing like letters and like condensing information for government agencies, usually some private industries, to get these grants to fund the organizations. So I was doing some of that. It was really boring, but I loved the organization. And eventually they hired me for like an admin role. And that was great. I was working a lot at Special Olympics events, working really closely with Special Olympics athletes. That was super cool. Again, didn't have the best boss there. And that was kind of around the time that the farm was starting. The farm was back in California. The farm being Primal Pastures that my husband started with his dad and brothers. So eventually, both of us quit our jobs. He was a high school teacher at the time. And so both of us left our jobs. We moved back to California in with his parents and sister and her husband and their son and his other sister, all in a 1,700 square foot house to start Primal Pastures and Primally Pure. And so that is kind of it in a nutshell. I was also like starting to make skincare products in my kitchen in Arizona when I was working at Special Olympics. That was more of a hobby at the time. And then I really started to turn it into a business when we moved back to California. So that's a little summary of my work history. Okay, next question. I want to hear more about fasting. I've been concerned about doing it as a woman. So I have talked about fasting off and on throughout the years. Some people get really triggered when I talk about this. And that's because there is this common notion or argument that there are very little to no studies done on women and fasting. And while that is true, I also just don't subscribe to the notion that just because there aren't studies on something that therefore you should avoid it or not do it. Because here's what we do know about fasting. People have been fasting either voluntarily or out of necessity since the beginning of the time. There have always been food shortages throughout history, and we would not have been able to continue on as a species if our bodies were not capable of withstanding that. Fasting is also basically the only thing that every world religion and spiritual practice agrees upon. Now, that's not to say that anyone and everyone should just jump into fasting full throttle. I think it's something that needs to be taken on with a lot of forethought and research and respect, and even in some situations, potentially consulting with your doctor to see if it's the right thing for you. But I have had a very positive experience with fasting, and I got into fasting several years ago, in between my second and third child. And I was just learning about all of the benefits of fasting. So if you think about everything that your body takes in as like information, right? So like every experience, everything you put on your skin, everything you eat, it's like information for your body to process. And when your body is not having to constantly digest and process food, it can focus on like the deeper repair work and healing. And one cool thing that happens when you fast is your body activates a mechanism called autophagy. And when autophagy is activated, your body is able to break down old and damaged and broken down cells and replace those old cell parts with new, better functioning cells. And this only happens in full effect when the body is not breaking down food, in the absence of food. And so I thought that was really cool. And I started just getting into intermittent fasting. I started really slowly. Initially, because I was always someone who, like, I would wake up, eat breakfast, have a snack between breakfast and lunch, snack between lunch and dinner, and then eat dinner. And you know, there weren't really a ton of breaks from eating throughout the day. So the idea of not eating for a while was kind of scary to me. But I started very slow, just like slowly shortening my eating window. Let's say if in the beginning I was eating from like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you know, I'd push back my eating window until 8 a.m. and then 9 a.m. and then 10 a.m. and, you know, until I had like kind of an 8-hour eating window most days. I didn't do it every single day. I don't think that you should do it every single day, but I mostly was kind of eating on this like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. cadence for a while. And then eventually I worked up the courage to try a 24-hour fast, and then like a 36-hour fast, and then a 72-hour fast. And that would have never been like mentally possible if I hadn't done as much research as I did on fasting. I learned that like hunger comes in waves. So it's not like you get hungry and then that hunger builds and builds and builds until it's unbearable. It's like, no, it might peak and then it'll go down. And then it'll peak again and go down. And I was also taking electrolytes and drinking like sparkling water, which helps me a lot during fasting, drinking teas and stuff like that. So not consuming calories, but doing these other things that just kind of helped to make it a little bit more manageable for me. And eventually I embarked on a 6-day water only fast. I say water only, but I think I was also doing like teas and maybe some coffee. And that was a really cool experience for me. After a few days in, I felt like I had more mental clarity than I had ever experienced in my life. My focus and productivity were through the roof. And as a Christian, what fasting also does is it tunes out kind of like outside noise. And when you remove a lot of inputs, one of the biggest inputs in our lives being food, you can tune into the voice of God more clearly. And that definitely happened when I did my 6-day fast. So all of that to say, I've had really positive experiences with fasting. I also did a hormone panel after I had done that 6-day fast with Dr. Will Cole. And I still vividly remember, because I had heard at that point, like people saying fasting is not good for women's hormones, et cetera, et cetera. And so I did this hormone panel. I was just like really curious to see what the results would be, because I felt really good during that time, and came back, and I still remember him saying like, wow, I don't see hormone panels like this too often. Like, this is a really solid hormone panel. And so I thought that was really cool. I'm definitely not saying that like all women should fast. I'm just sharing my experience with it, which has been very positive. And one thing that I've incorporated now with fasting is I only fast at certain times during my menstrual cycle. So I don't fast before my period or when I'm on my period, but shortly after I found is the best time for fasting. And then I don't really fast during ovulation, but I fast a little bit between ovulation and when I start my period. Okay, next question. Someone said, give me all the details about tallow. Okay, let me tell you, tallow is an awesome ingredient. It has been used traditionally for centuries. And Pop Sugar, I talked about this on Instagram, came out with an article on tallow several months ago. And you know how these mainstream publications just like to poo-poo on any trends that don't coincide with kind of like the status quo of thinking. So they said basically there hadn't been enough research on tallow, that they're not sure that it's safe, which is all, of course, ridiculous. Tallow has been used for a very, very long time. It is very safe. And we see all the time customer testimonials from people that have tried like anything and everything for their eczema or different skin conditions. And the only thing that has helped is tallow. So I'm a huge fan of this ingredient. It's very similar to our skin's own sebum. Tallow actually means sebum in Latin, which is pretty cool, but it's truly an ingredient that has stood the test of time. And we have it in so many of our products. We have it in our baby balm, we have it in our body butters, in our face creams, in our deodorant. I think that because we have tallow in our deodorant, it is the reason why our deodorant is so nourishing. Like, a lot of natural deodorants have baking soda, ours does too. But we get messages from a lot of people that have used natural deodorants from other companies and have broken out in rashes, and that's because of the baking soda. It can be a harsh ingredient for some skin types. But they'll then come to us and try ours and say, this is amazing, like I'm finally able to use a natural deodorant and it doesn't break me out. And one, our baking soda is naturally mined. It's naturally finer. It's not made in a lab like other baking sodas, but also the tallow is so nourishing that I think it just doesn't allow, for the most part, like rashes to take hold because it just nourishes the skin so well. Do you work out? If so, what's your favorite routine? Man, this has changed so much throughout the years. So yeah, it's kind of always something new for me. So I'm saying this now, and who knows what it'll be like 3 months down the road. But I've always been an active person. I swam and played water polo in high school. In college, I was really into running. After college, I was really into CrossFit. After that, I was really into tennis. So whatever I do, I kind of like go hard at it. And then for a while, I have just been like taking walks. That has been kind of the easiest thing for me to fit into my day. For a while, it was with my son, and I would strap him on in the ergo, kind of as like my weight vest. And so for a while he would wake up and then I would wake up with him and kind of strap him on. We'd just go on our morning walk. And that was our routine. And it was great. He's getting to the point where like that is, it's more of a challenge because he's getting big. So now I'll kind of fit in walks where I can. But recently I have been working out, lifting weights with a personal trainer, which has been awesome. There are so many benefits to weightlifting, and it's something that I've been wanting to get into for a while. I loved that part of CrossFit, but I'm not wanting like the intensity of CrossFit right now in my life. I just want like the weight part. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to go into a gym and like know what to do. So hence the trainer, which has been really cool. I've only been doing this for about a month, but I'm already like experiencing the benefits. I think building muscle is so important for longevity. The more muscle you have in your body, that muscle can actually absorb more glucose from your bloodstream. So when you eat like something that has carbs or something that's sweet, even if it's not a lot, that glucose is going to circulate in your bloodstream. But when you have muscle is an organ that can absorb and take in that glucose. So it isn't circulating in your bloodstream, causing inflammation. So, and especially as you age, there's so many benefits to having muscle on your body. So trying to build a little bit of that, and we'll keep you guys updated as that continues. Do you take any supplements, even if you eat real foods? Yes, I do take some supplements because the soil just is not what it used to be decades or centuries ago. In general, not here. The soil is very nutrient dense and biodiverse here, but for the most part, the soil has just been depleted of so many nutrients due to monocrop farming, tillage, and just all of the things that we do to disrupt the soil. And so I do think it's important to take supplements. There are some that I take that I think anyone and everyone could and maybe should take. I take extra virgin cod liver oil from a brand called Rosita. I take vitamin D, a D3 K2 supplement. And then I take something called Keenton. It's like a seawater, it's a plankton, like mineral-rich seawater kind of supplement. And I take one like vial of those every morning. I love that. And then I do have some supplements that I take that are just based on like personalized testing that I've done that are specific to me that I'm not going to share because it wouldn't really be relevant for everyone listening. But yeah, I think if you have the opportunity, it's always a good idea to do testing and kind of see if there are any deficiencies or gaps and work with someone on kind of filling those gaps with whole foods if possible, but with supplements as kind of a second option. What are parts of your day routine that you cannot give up and look forward to? I would say that walk. I still get that walk in most of the time in the morning. It's a good way to set your circadian rhythm up for the day. So when you get morning sunlight in your eyes, your awakening hormones are activated, you feel more alive, more alert, and then it sets you up for a better night's sleep at night when you're able to get sunlight in your eyes in the morning. So I love walks in general. Morning for me is my favorite time to get a walk in. And I love having a morning beverage. I'm on a coffee kick. I have been on a coffee kick for a while now. I love iced coffee with raw milk. That would be like my favorite drink of the moment. I love that. Love it. And then sometimes I'll make a hot coffee and I'll blend it with grass-fed butter, a little bit of honey, the Taylor Duke's bone broth protein powder. That combo's really good too. So I have been into coffee for a while. Sometimes I'll get on like matcha kicks too, but it's been coffee like since my son was born. So almost 2 years now. I feel like a coffee break is kind of coming in my future, but I'm not ready just yet. And then at nighttime, something that I look forward to about my nighttime routine is one, facial massage, incorporating some form of facial massage every night is a non-negotiable for me. So sometimes that's just using our cleansing oil and really taking a minute to just massage it into my skin and savor the smell of it. That's one of my favorite smelling products that we have, not because it has fragrance, but because of the essential oils in it. Just a really nice aroma. So I love that experience. And then sometimes I'll mix in facial cupping or gua sha with that. But I love facial massage at night. And then I've been really into reading fiction before bed. So it's kind of how I drift off to sleep. And I think there's something to like the hypnotic effect of like following like words back and forth on a page. But then also it just, I used to read a lot of nonfiction, but I'm loving fiction because it just kind of like takes you apart, takes you away from the stresses and trials and challenges of the day and takes you into like dreamland. So that's just a nice transition for me. I'm not like a TV watcher. I don't watch TV shows at night. So when my kids go to bed, after I've kind of like picked up or hung out with my husband, I will, and after I've done my skincare routine, I will cozy up in bed and just read a fiction novel. And sometimes I read 2 pages, sometimes I read 10 pages, just depends. But I really love that part of my evening routine. What do you eat in a day? Do you count calories or macros? No, I do not count calories or macros. Never have, never will. That sounds like torture to me, like calculating, like trying to figure out, okay, how many calories is in this piece of steak and this serving of broccoli? I'm sure it becomes kind of second nature, like once you develop these rules of thumb, like, oh, a fist-sized portion of X is this many calories. But like, that's just, I can think of few things that I would want to do less than that. It sounds horrible. So no, I don't do that. But I do try to have like a balanced ratio of, or what I would think is a balanced ratio of like protein, fat, carbs at every meal, usually more protein heavy than fat and carbs. So a typical day of eating for me might look something like 3 eggs in the morning with like a slice of gluten-free sourdough toast with grass-fed butter and salt flakes, and then like a handful of blueberries for breakfast. For lunch, maybe a salad with avocado and steak, and maybe like a treat, like a clean treat on the side, or like a bit of a dark chocolate bar or something like that. And then for dinner, it's always very similar. Like my husband will cook the protein, which is usually grass-fed steak or chicken. And then I make a tray of roasted veggies like every night for my family, like potatoes, onions, broccoli, carrots, like any of the above, just a big tray cooked in the, like with ghee and salt cooked in the oven at 425 degrees for like 35 minutes. We do that all the time. And then maybe like white rice, maybe a salad. Or sometimes a lot of nights actually we do like pot roast. So we'll put a roast in the crock pot in the morning and then add onion, potato, and carrots to that. And then it's like the meal's already there at the end of the day. So it's so easy. We do that often. So yeah, I hope that answers the question. That's kind of what I would typically eat in a day. Okay, the next question is, how do you handle being judged for living differently? So I think there probably is judgment, now that I'm thinking a little bit more on this, for like different areas of my life that are different from the status quo. But I really don't think about it that much. And I think when you do put intentionality into your choices and the choices that you make for your family, and you have reasons for those choices, the opinions of others just matter a whole lot less, rather than if you were to kind of be timid in these decisions and not really have like backing to substantiate them, or like to really know your why behind them. I think it would be easy to kind of like feel the weight of that judgment more. So at the end of the day, when it comes to the health of yourself and your family, you are responsible for making the best decisions that you know how to make with the information that you have, but you're not responsible for what other people think of those decisions. Last question of the day. Update on protocol after taking antibiotics for cheek cut. So thank you so much for asking this. That's really sweet. For anyone who hasn't been following along with this saga, I've been posting about it on our Instagram. And basically what happened was my son, who is now almost 21 months, he kind of like grabbed and clawed my face and punctured the skin. For a while, it wasn't healing, and I didn't really think much of it. But eventually, I noticed that it was like getting worse. And so I tried a bunch of like natural remedies. I used colloidal silver, apple cider vinegar, ozonated olive oil, Manuka honey, and nothing was really working. And then I thought some things were working, and then it would, you know, backfire and kind of get worse. And I still remember one day I ran into my brother-in-law, who is a PA, and he looked at it, and he had seen me the day before too, and he looked at it and he was like, whoa, like that does not look good. Like if you came into my office, I would tell you to go on antibiotics. And he's not someone who, you know, shoves medicine down people's throat. So like for him to say that, I was like, okay, yes, it has gotten a lot worse. Like maybe it's time to take antibiotics. And not a fan of antibiotics. Like I'm grateful that they exist for situations when they're absolutely necessary, but I just know what they do to your gut and your microbiome. And I was really, really sad to have to take them. Honestly, it had been over 12 years since I had taken antibiotics, but I did. And 5 days in, it seemed like it was helping. And then 5 days in, it was like kind of going crazy again. So I was just really discouraged at that point. I didn't know what was going on. That also happened to be the day that I left for a family vacation to Hawaii. And I texted Dr. Chestnut, who's kind of a holistic-minded plastic surgeon who we have interviewed for different blog posts and such, just wanting to get more opinions. And I was like, hey, this is going on, you know, what would you recommend? Is there anything you would recommend putting on it? Because at that point I was concerned about like long-term scarring, and his advice was just to use baby balm because he gives that to a lot of patients like post surgery and procedures and, you know, to help with healing and scarring. And baby balm is normally my go-to for everything, but I don't know why. I just thought in this case, like, okay, I need to like tackle it and be aggressive and use all these things. But it was amazing when I stopped everything and I just used baby balm and I kept it moist, which I didn't realize is important for wound healing and like scar prevention, keeping the wound moist. But I was using the baby balm multiple times a day. I was going in the ocean, so it was getting like cleaned with salt water. And that combination was pure magic. Like within like 2 days, it was completely better, no scar. It was pretty amazing. But all that to say, this person is checking in on like what I'm doing to heal my gut after taking antibiotics. So I'll get into that. It's so important to go on a healing protocol after antibiotics because they wipe out all of your gut bacteria, which opens the door for pathogenic overgrowth in the gut, which can lead to immune dysfunction, skin issues, and so many things. So I knew this. I knew I wanted to heal my gut, work on healing my gut immediately after the antibiotics. What I've been doing is eating a variety of probiotic-rich foods, eating a wide variety of foods in general. So people say like eat the rainbow. That's kind of what I've been trying to do, just getting a lot of different fruits and vegetables into my diet, eating gut-healing foods, so bone broth, colostrum, things like that to kind of like seal the gut. I've been really trying to avoid inflammatory foods. I always try to avoid inflammatory foods, but even more so than usual. So really being diligent about avoiding seed oils, avoiding refined sugar, even like limiting like clean, more natural sugars from my diet. And I've also been on a specific protocol. So I'm friends with Taylor Dukes, who is a functional medicine nurse practitioner, and she has me on a protocol of her supplements right now for gut healing. I'm taking her probiotic, I'm taking her prebiotic, I'm taking GI immune support, which is a powder. You can put it in like smoothies or water even. And this is just immune supporting immunoglobulins, which bind to microbes and toxins in your gut before your immune system has to deal with them. And then I'm taking another thing that I can't pronounce, Saccharomyces boulardii, something like that, which is a friendly probiotic yeast with antioxidant properties. I've also been doing things like taking binders. I have like a charcoal zeolite binder that I take. Usually like when I go in the sauna, I'll take that with the sauna, just to like bind to any toxins that are being released during that time. But it also is good for post antibiotics, just to bind to toxins in the gut and make sure those don't manifest and grow or anything like that. I've been doing colonics, and colonics, basically your colon is kind of getting flushed out with water. So it's a good way to hydrate from the inside out, but also good to kind of like flush out any toxins before they become like a systemic issue. And then I also have been doing, We have an ozone generator at our house. It makes ozone gas. And for anyone who's not familiar with ozone gas, so ozone is O3, oxygen is obviously O2. So ozone is oxygen with an extra molecule attached. And that extra molecule goes in and like binds to and destroys pathogens. So pathogenic bacteria cannot thrive in an oxygen-rich environment, but good bacteria do thrive in an oxygen-rich environment. So what the ozone does is it kills off pathogens by oxygenating the body. And you can use the gas in different ways. You can use the gas in your ears. You can infuse it into water and make ozonated water to drink. But I've been doing rectal ozone insufflation. So you just put the gas in a bag and you just kind of like shoot it in a little hose up your butt, and it oxygenates you in that area and kind of like gets rid of those pathogenic bacteria. So that may be a little TMI for some of you, but that has also been a part of my healing protocol. And I'm a big fan of ozone in general, so maybe I'll talk more about that on a future episode. That's all we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This was a lot of fun. Make sure to be on the lookout on Instagram. We'll do another poll where you guys can ask more questions for future episodes. So thank you again, and we'll see you on the next episode of Grounded Wellness.